very positive image in order to pursue the mandate to grow the community and also the small commercial media by this year. I mean, obviously crossing over to the following year as well. These are basically the projects that have been supported currently. This is just to show the amount that has been approved for broadcast. As you can see, it's the 61, the research, the one, the print, and the total. And what has been approved is what's highlighted there, 38, 1 million, 10 million for print, and 50. And what has been actually paid out is what is reflected there, 32, 1, 7, 40. And the right backs is what is still within the organization but has been approved, that has not been used. So it will reflect as right backs, which is a discussion that maybe the board must have on why the right backs would be like that, depending on how the deliverables are on the side of the people who have received approvals. So those are the summary of the projects that have been approved for this year and the right backs that flow from that. And the closing balance is as reflected on the on this slide, which is 56 million, 1 million on research, the 6 million on print, and 65 in total, 233. Thank you so much. I hope the presentation was comprehensive. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Khumalo. I just want to be sure from your side, Thembi Kosi, that you've been able to let the members in. I just saw in the messages that they've been trying to get in and have been waiting to be let in the meeting. Otherwise, thanks for the presentation, Ms. Khumalo. As I said, honorable members will then interact with you. Once again, I call you to relax and engage with members. Honorable Gumbu will be the first to interact with you, followed by Honorable McKenzie. Honorable Faku will be the third one. Other members will then follow from there. Honorable Gumbu, I think to allow the flow of the discussion, after the member would have asked you the questions, once you can answer, then you will just answer directly, not through, just to facilitate the discussion. Honorable Gumbu.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good evening, Ms. Khumalo.
Evening, Honorable Member.
And I hope you are doing fine this evening.
Devin is cold, Member.
And you have relaxed as the Chair has requested you to relax. Just two issues or two questions. Having listened to your presentation, I now have an understanding that you have some qualifications on the, in the legal field. And I just want to understand that how can those qualifications in the legal field assist the board of NPPA if you are appointed in the board? That's the first question. Did you get the question clear?
Yes, I did, Honorable Member.
Okay. Thank you. Secondly, I just want to get your view on the role of the NPPA in promoting community media in a digital environment. If you can just respond to that. Did you also get the second question clear?
Yes, yes, I did get it, yes.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, can I go ahead and respond?
Yes, that's what I said. Immediately after a member, you can then come in, okay. But via the Chair, just to facilitate the discussion so that it's interactive.
Okay. Honorable Gumbu, as I was saying, because the agency Gumbu is,
yes.
Apologize. I think by its very nature, the agency is a creator of statute. It's a legal, it's created by law. So whatever happens there is legal. The actual it being run by a board. A board on itself is a legal creature. There is company laws that must be adhered to. There's KFMA, all the list of legislation that I cited earlier in my presentation. They are the very core that makes the agent be able to. When there was the constitution mandated that there must be access to the communities in the manner that the agency has been aligned, there was a legal course that needed to be followed. And for the operations to move forward, there's always a need for somebody to actually connect to the aspirations and the spirit of what the legislature intended when they created that, and the actual knowledge of how to use the tool that is in your hand. So I think any board should always have a legal person on it, so that whatever the intentions of the creator of that institute is able to get the message across, in lack of a better word. I don't know if that satisfies you. But other than that, I'm very experienced with boards. If you look at my CV, I've been on various boards since time immemorial, here in KZN nationally, but particularly in the communication space. I've been there. I've presented so many times on the portfolio committee that you are in, on different wearing different hats, and knowing the industry in the communication sector, it's very interlinked. So whatever the ICASA is issued, whether we're all different sectors, you'll always get to know what must happen. So the legislation that is there is interlinked. So me being in this board would actually be an added advantage, because I'm familiar not only with law, but with the sector generally and what is really needed. I think the second question is the role. Honourable Member, can I move to the next question?
Yes, you can, with the permission of the chair.
No, the chair giving permission already.
Yes, you can proceed. Another question.
The MDDA would be able, the role of the community radios in the digital space, was that the question? Sorry, I'm not writing down. Especially now that the whole country is moving to the digital, I think the allocation that is 5% for research. Going forward, I think maybe those that needs to be dealt with, because I think we're going to move away from the position where the radio stations are just on analog all the time. Everybody now, the directive is that everything must stop being analog, it must move to digital. So, and I think the agency needs to align itself with that. But the reason why I'm focusing on research is because the reason we've got those write backs, I'm not saying that it's because they're not going to be used, but it's been generally a program where we've got radio stations that are not sufficiently capacitated to move, especially if we're dealing with the content that we're trying to promote in the radio stations. Children are now streaming, so your day-to-day radio, it needs to be digitalized. So I see the agency, if it doesn't align itself now, it might become redundant, and the whole purpose of having the agency would fall away pretty soon. I think it's important that it aligns itself in the digital world. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kumbu. As I take Honourable McKenzie to follow, I recognize that Honourable Hendricks is joining us from wherever he is. He has now replaced Ms. CS. So we are continuing these interviews for the MDDA, as you would see, Honourable Member. Honourable McKenzie, so you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening to you, and good evening, Ms. Kamalo. Nice to see you. I looked at that white space behind you and I thought, what a beautiful home you have. And then I found it on the background. You know, if I can just share something very quickly with you. One of the earliest books that I think defined my ideological and political thinking was Cry the Beloved Country by Alan Paton. And of course, one of the main characters in that role is Umfundisi Khumalo. So your name is certainly resonates with me from many, many, many years ago. Ms. Khumalo, you know, we're in a very tough time globally as well as in South Africa economically. And we had this before the advent of COVID. I think we were dealing with a low growth situation and lots of difficulties in that area. COVID has just obviously exacerbated this for us and made it much worse. So you can, just from the outside looking in, unfortunately, I don't have access to Mr. Mboweni, not even on Twitter anymore because he's been silenced. But I would assume that the MDDA's budget is going to be revised down. So you're going to have to, your mandate is critically important to give voice to the voiceless, but you're going to have to do a lot more with a lot less. How would you go about doing that? What would you prioritize in the MDDA as a board member? And how would you go about expanding or getting more of the outcome that we want, which is more voices represented, but for less money? And I'll leave you to answer that question any way you like. Then as a second question, are you familiar with any of any issues between the MDDA and ICASA, for example, and the role that ICASA plays in the MDDA's activities? If you can identify an issue, it can be a positive or a negative one, and tell me if it's positive, how you will enhance it, and if it's negative, how you will set about resolving it. And I would prefer real issues, please. Honourable Gumbo, as you partly answered my question, I was going to ask what unique value you brought to the board, and clearly your knowledge of government and SOEs is peerless. And you said sector and legal knowledge. In the movie Devil's Advocate, the devil says there are more people in law school than there are lawyers practicing, and that law is the new priesthood. And I always found that line quite interesting. My daughter's also a lawyer. So in addition to those skills, and I'm not knocking your skills for a minute, like I said, they're peerless. I mean, I can see into governance the incredible value you would add to the board. What else can you bring to the MDDA board in addition to your sector and your legal knowledge that would assist the MDDA to reach its objectives more effectively? Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Ms. Khumalo.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. I think the first question was more for less or less for more type of a question. As I'm saying, I can't talk outside what is already there. Like on the last slide, I think my emphasis would be on the right backs and why, if the approvals that have been given out, the rest of the money does not get that does not go to the intended users or the people who have been approved, because there's just no skill, because the first set requires that after you've been given so much money, you need to account, and people are just, you know, financial literacy and all of those things that are required. So I think that's where most money goes, you know, because then you're sitting with it, it goes back to treasury, or it gets maybe rearranged to operational cost, where the actual intention of reaching the outer people is not satisfied. So I think we need to just deal with that internal issue of what we have already. How can we utilize it to the optimum, you know, other than actually saying that we need to go out and, well, obviously we can still do a bit of fundraising. We can always get other partners to buy in. We can always, I always think that there are more people are interested in this, where we've got I give you the service and you take it back, where we incubate maybe our recipients of grants and all of those. There are different ways in which we can try and get money other than getting an allocation from Treasury. But I still feel that internally we still need to streamline the systems that we have. We need to capacitate people. We need to understand what to do with what is already in allocation inside the organization. I think that would be my approach in terms of that. But as I'm saying, I've never been there, but that's how I view the organization, is where it can actually gain some momentum going forward if there's a cut in budget. Can I be reminded of the second question?
The second question is the issue of relations.
That's right, Chief.
Between the MTA and CASA, and there, if you can give specifics and how you can help resolve those. Have I captured you well on the problem, McKenzie?
Yes. I remember the question very well. I know. Practical wise, would be the frequency. I think that there's always that issue when there's an allocation, maybe for a radio station, and there's a certain area that maybe there's a conflict. You know, there's always an issue about frequency. I don't know if I need to be specific about such, but even on a practicing side, we have been approached, you know, to assist on those matters. I've always found that with the spectrum in the context that it's in now, without opening another discussion on that, there's always been just that issue where maybe there's less frequency, where there's been an allocation, or where there's an application for a certain radius, and then there's always that conflict. So I find that that usually becomes the major problem. That's what brings MDDA and ICASA head on in most cases. I don't know if that's real enough. I know you asked for a real example. Huh? Okay. And then the third one is, other than the legal sector knowledge, what do I bring in? I'm a very outgoing person. So stakeholder management. If there are budget cuts, I think I'll be the one out there looking for what needs to come in. Lobbying generally, and I think there's just a lot that I can bring in into the board other than being a stuck-up lawyer. It may appear. I don't know if I've covered that enough. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm covered. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable McKenzie. I'll now take Honourable Fako.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to Honourable Members. Good evening, Ms. Kumala. How are you today?
I'm fine, Honourable Fako. How are you?
I'm good. I think I like the sense of humour that you have, the way that you laugh. And I think Uche has explained from the beginning that this is an interaction. I think that you have a lot of experience legally, but you always have been. I just want to ask you, in terms of diversity, I think Honorable Kumba asked you this question. What is your understanding of the media diversity in South Africa, in your own opinion? Can you hear me?
I don't have to join the meeting. Please mute your mic so that it doesn't disturb. Because it would appear it's something from the background somewhere. All right, we're better now. Honorable Fadu, you can proceed.
Okay. No, my question was that at think you do have experience in the sector. So my question was, what is your understanding of the media diversity in South Africa? That is my first question. So I'll keep on asking. Can you hear me? Am I clear, Chair?
For me, I can hear you. I think honourable members do hear you. I see them nodding. I'm sure Ms. Kumalo did hear this first question on media diversity.
Yes. Yes, you're asking my understanding of media diversity in this country. My understanding of it. I think the media has evolved, you know, from what we know it in terms of, you know, our generation. But the generation that we have now, the media diversity, I'm not sure. You'll have to correct me if I'm not taking the context you want me to. But I think the media diversity is at some point it used to be just a few things, maybe the stations, the radio and the print, but now it has gone digital and diversity that flows from digital is just endless. And for me, I don't really have a context where I could talk about media diversity in this country, but for the purposes of the Act, in the way that I read it, is that in whatever context that the person on the street needs to have access to media, to information, and in whatever context, own it, not only just know about it, and that's the diversity, I think. That's the way I see it in that context.
Okay, then my second question is, ICASA had also licensed Trust as community radio, and it was difficult to understand how Trust could be part of community development projects since the Trust was regulated by the Trust Act. As of today, community media was faced with contested space where community radios were located next to each other, for example. This created a huge challenge for the relevance and sustainability. What do you think can be the solution to address this problem?
Okay. The first question about the trust, about how I think a trust is a legal entity in its own, and it can be utilized in a manner that it's supposed to serve the purpose. So if a trust is being operated in the context of, there is nothing illegal about what is happening, the use of a trust can be used to actually to further the needs of the community. You know, it's like a co-op or a trust or whatever, or a company, or in whatever context. So I don't have a context of how the trust were used. I think I've missed that one. But I'm just assuming that if there is use of a trust, if it intends to further the intentions of that community, I don't think there's anything that stops that unless there are challenges that arise from there. Maybe it would arise from the selection of the trustees are leaving the trust, or the trustees using the benefits in a manner that's not designed to, then it becomes a problem. But I think as a board, we need to look at that and see if it's ideal, the use of a trust, you know, in such circumstances, giving a license to a trust, it's a bit strange. So but that's my opinion about it, honorable member. I don't know if I've covered you.
Why do you think that it's strange to give a license to a trust? That is where I want you to come from the last point that you're making.
Yes, yeah. I'm just saying that ideally, if you open a trust, there will be trustees, you know, there will be a founder and a trustee, and that goes with it. So a radio station, if I'm just imagining that if if it's being
if I can just ask Ms. Khumalo, I think you mentioned an important point at the last when you were finishing up saying well, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I'm saying the point that you made, I think it's an important page. Now, I want your legal advisor as a board member to say that you think that ICASA must give licenses to trusts?
I'm saying trusts, like any other legal entity, you cannot say that one must give to a trust or not give to a trust, as long as the trust is there as a legal entity. Unless you're saying that the mere existence of a trust is wrong. But I'm saying caution must be had when you are issuing license to a trust, because by its very nature, the trust can hold a license, but then stringent, it needs to be stringent in how, at how you manage that, because, I mean, there are trustees there, there are founders, and there are people who come and go in that, so the longevity of the license might be affected by the presence of the trustees. So if you intend for the license to benefit the community, a selection of a structure or a legal entity is important, honorable member. That's what I'm saying. And it can be decided by case by case, not on just a general opinion as I'm giving now. Thank you. I'm not sure what the third question was again.
Yeah, Honorable Fagu also.
Thank you.
Yeah. Honorable Fagu, can you hear properly now?
I'm covered, Chetan.
Okay, thank you. May I just. Honorable Kubeka is now connected.
Hi, Chair. We have ICT trying to assist her to connect. She's experiencing challenges, but we do have people that are working on getting her to connect, Chairperson.
That's good. Surely with the numbers we have, we can still proceed. May I just, because on my side, they usually don't ask questions, but elevate a point that may have been raised before. Just to go back to the point raised by Honorable Fagu, which I couldn't really pick up your answer on that, in case I may have not noted well what you would have used as an answer. I think the point raised by Honorable Fagu in this instance relates to the role that the NDDA has to play in ensuring that different voices are heard, especially at a community media level. So you then have many of the radio, community radio stations or probably community print media allocated in the space to a point of other of capability. And can those that are joining, please, Mike, can you also switch off your cameras just to ask connectivity also? All right. Ms. Khumalo, when you mute your mic, what happens? I'm just saying, if you can just mute your mic, I just want to see if we still have the sound. Yeah, it seems better now.
Better now.
Yes. So if I can just go back to the point, I think the point I was making was that the question relates to the competition you have, if you will call it competition, but I will say the balancing act that you need to do. You have so many radio stations, let's say, allocated in a space because you have an interest of ensuring that there's diversity in terms of voices that are there. Then on the other hand, there's the same are collapsing from a point of sustainability because you compete for the same adverts and all that. What is it that you would do in ensuring that that balance is kept? You do not kill different voices, but you are also faced with the reality of sustainability of such voices. I think that's what she was talking to there, over and above the trust. So if you can just maybe elevate that point. You can unmute your mic and then speak. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yes, Chair. I think what drives diversity from that perspective would be the demographics. I think when we're looking at an area, like there is a slide that didn't come in there, which shows what has been allocated and different people that have been allocated. The areas. So when you look at those areas and there are existing radio stations.
Yeah, I'm fine. There we go. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Just remember that.
You can proceed, please. Those that are joining, if you can just mute your mic, please. Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I was saying that if there is an existing radio station and it's sustainable or not sustainable because of how the MTDA has actually capacitated that radio station. So for an application to arise from that station, from that area where there is an existing radio station, it means there is that lack of capacitation that already exists. So for me, it's not actually assisting people on the. It's the role that the MTDA needs to play on actually capacitating what is already existing on the ground, because we would not on the same area or people on the ground be a request if what is already down there is already sustainable. So a research on why what is already there not sustainable is an issue, and then we must actually provide what the other licensees already are lacking at. If it's capacitating the current or expanding the current licenses and its conditions, that would be ideal. Or if it's allocating a new license, that's actually giving a different perspective to the demographics that are on the ground. Because as you know, other registrations were given at a certain age for a certain generation, but now we've got different generations. The print media has also evolved to a certain extent, and with the digitalization that's coming in, it's going to be different ways. So we need to be flexible as a board to interpret the legislation and make it flexible in that it allows for that kind of diversity and not be to be too stringent on the approach. So I think that the law as it stands, it allows for that. It's just how we apply to it. And I think there should be consultation now and again with the current licenses, with the community, so that we understand what needs to be done for that diversity to be alive. Thanks, Chair. I don't know if I've covered you.
All right. No, that's the point I wanted to hear properly for my own notes. I see Honorable Kubeka has joined the panel.
Thank you very
much. Honorable Rebecca. She would have also, as I said, all members received the CVs, all members received the presentation. Even those who are struggling to connect, she has got questions for you, I'm sure. So I'll give over to her to ask her questions based on what she has looked at. Honorable Kubeka, you are welcome.
Thank you very much. Let me first apologize because now I don't know what is happening. I think it's on that side, not on my side, Chair, because the technical problem needs to start at afresh again on that side when they try to assist me. Anyway, how are you, Mem Leah Khumalo? Is it the one?
Yes, it is. It is, honorable ma'am.
How are you this evening?
Devin is cold, my freezing.
Okay. No, let me do this. Let me just have only two questions for you because somehow I get lost, so I can't get clearly maybe for other members. What questions did they manage to ask you? But I'm just having only two, Honorable Mayor Leah Khumalo. As we find ourselves in the current socio-economic situation due to COVID-19, what do you think can MDDA do different in future with regard to assisting especially community radio to keep its audience? Then the second one, the lack of governance and accountability of the MDDA boards in the past was viewed as a great concern. What do you think led to it, and what is it that you bring to the MDDA board to address and correct
empower radio stations, the community radio stations, and it's always a feeling that maybe they're feeding the baby and the baby becomes too much or too big, bigger than them, because that's how much power the community radio stations potentially have. So I think what we can do, and I see it's being done, but not to an extent that would actually capacitate the community radios, is to encourage the departments of government themselves to utilize these community radio stations. Like maybe the schools are reopening. If the voice of how all the things are going to be distributed, they come over there. So you find that the advert spend is allocated mostly to community radios. So I think there should be some kind of a conversation that is had in that if a license is issued, it is accompanied by an ad spend that comes from government, because then all the initiatives of government are channeled through the community radios. In that way, they're sustainable and they can live longer, and there are no issues of how the license is lying dormant unused because there is no issue of capacitation. But mostly also, as I'm saying, it's my passion that people, the licenses must be capacitated. They must be given financial literacy. They must be able to account for their own books. They must be able, because the more they get the revenue that they get, if they don't have that financial literacy, they're going to fall flat into their faces. So I think we have that responsibility if the board can look at it that way, that the government is actually encouraged to utilize the community radio stations, not that to take away from the commercial radio stations, so to speak. I don't know if that covers the first question, ma. Yes. Okay. And the second question, sorry?
Sorry? Must I repeat it?
Yes, ma'am, can you please? Sorry.
The question was saying, what do you think led to it?
Oh, the board. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, I think what we must look at, Ma, is the honorable, is that for every new legislation, you know, there is mostly misunderstanding. And then there's where you can say, oh, the legislation is new, so people are still trying to learn. I think a better part of the board composition was lost in that new kind of legislation, no understanding of what media diversity is and the accounting and all of that. So I think maybe a lot of that's what I had. I don't know. I don't have a deep detail for it. But I think going forward, I think we just need to be very vigilant with accounting. And I know that accounting to Parliament has helped and the shareholder and everything. But if we are in the board, we just need to adhere. And I see if maybe we attain the clean audit, which is reflective of how governance is looked after. And having legal people on the board assist, because then there is always a reporting structure of if this is not done, and then it's escalated, and then it doesn't wait until the time where it must be reported to Parliament or it gets to media that it's attended to. If we've got legal people, accounting people on the board, and then so your composition of the board actually helps so that people can understand what needs to be done. So it's also not only a board issue, it's who is there and what do they know and what can they do better. Thanks.
So thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I think all honorable members have had an opportunity to engage with you. In this regard, I'm just going to give you not more than a minute for your departing point that you want to leave the committee with before we wrap up on this interview. Over to you, Ms.
I'd like to thank the honorable members for shortlisting me and giving me an opportunity to express my keen interest on being on the MTDA board. If I'm appointed, I would do my best to make sure that we achieve a clean audit and we achieve what the shareholder intends and the parliament wants the agency to be an ideal agency. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ms. Kumalo. As I said, we've come to the end of the interaction. I hope we would have achieved what I said earlier on, that we take this as an interaction, that you share answers with the panel and surely from the questions posed by honorable members, you'll also have an opportunity to still reflect beyond the interview itself. So please, as we say at this point, I know it's an evening, you said it's chill in Durban. You'd want to also get something warm. Please have a good evening still. Further communications, the administration that was interacting with you in preparation for the interviews, you'll still be able to interact with them. Otherwise, thanks for making
time. Thank you
time.
So much. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Cheers. Okay. Thanks. Should I hang up?
Yes. Yeah. You can then leave the meeting formally. Thank you. Tembinkosi, do you have a candidate?
Yes, Chairperson. The candidate is just joining. She will be with us at any moment that she's come in. Ms. Rosie Mudene is the next candidate, Chairperson, and I had a discussion earlier with her, so she knows what to expect from you. And just to reiterate, I will be sharing the presentation from my side. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Tim. Good evening, Ms. Mudene.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. We as welcome you on this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to deal quickly with the formalities. You are appearing before a subcommittee created by the Portfolio Committee on Communications in the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So this subcommittee reports to that committee. The National Assembly rules also allow a committee to put up a subcommittee that focuses on a particular matter. For purposes of this subcommittee, our focus is the appointment process for
okay.
the MPA board, of which you have been nominated and shortlisted to come before the committee as you are here this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Without waste of time, what we'll do then, we'll introduce briefly the honorable members that are in the subcommittee.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, allow you in a few minutes to briefly introduce yourself, and in that introduction, you will infuse your presentation so there would not be a gap between the introduction and the actual presentation.
Okay.
In a few minutes. And I want to assure you that honorable members would have received your CV well in advance. They really do know what to ask in case the presentation would have not covered the points that they are looking at.
Right.
So please understand it in that way. But the other thing I always say to the candidates as they appear before this committee is that we do not take it in the strict sense of an interview as you would know it, but we take it as an interaction that you share with us in your answers, and that honorable members can pose the questions, and surely at the end of the interview, we would have learned a lot from your answers as the panel, but surely you'll also have learned from the questions that honorable members would have posed to you. So please relax, feel welcomed, and just engage with the members. So
thank you.
Without waste of time, with Honorable Mackenzie on the screen that you could see quicker, we have Honorable Kubega. Honorable Kubega, we have Honorable Gumbu. Then we also have Honorable Faku. Honorable Faku, I'm sure she's also trying to, she's connected. I'm sure there may just be one or two things I see.
Hi, Chair.
Yes.
Good evening.
Right. That's Honorable Faku, but you'll see her as she interacts with you.
Okay.
Chairing Honorable Maneli is chairing.
Okay.
So I'm the chair of the session for today, right?
Okay.
That's the brief introduction of the members present. We do have two other members who are held up in the other engagements, but we have the numbers to proceed with the interview.
Okay.
I will now, Charlie, welcome you to now speak to the committee, introduce yourself briefly, and get to the presentation immediately. Thank you. Over to you, Ms.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction and a warm welcome to everybody. A brief introduction. My name is Rosie Mutena. I am South African. I suppose my career has been twofold. The first fold is I've been in the media industry for the last 25 years, starting in front of the camera, then learning my way back in terms of directing, producing, and then finally into broadcasting. I've also traveled extensively across the continent with my own talent agency and when I worked with MNET Africa through media and through my activism. That leading into the second part of my career is I've been in the activism space for the last 17 years. I was trained through an organization called POWER, People Opposing Women Abuse. And I was trained under advocacy, creating awareness and for gender-based violence, counseling and so forth. And what over the last couple of years I've managed to fuse is my expertise within the media field with creating an awareness and creating I suppose breaking down those barriers of speaking about certain issues, particularly gender-based violence, and of course highlighting issues within the LGBTQI community. I have, as I said, worked extensively across the continent, and I actually lived in Uganda, and I moved there purely to try and understand the media landscape within Uganda, because I worked with a broadcaster. I was head of productions, programming, and acquisitions for a locally based network there, to understand the impact of media and also understand how advocacy works and how we could work and change in various communities. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about that in my presentation, on how we could possibly adapt some of those principles to what MDVA, what they're about. So going into my presentation, I want to highlight what media is. And as we know, media is the communication outlets or the tools that are used to store and deliver information or data. The term refers to the components of mass media communication industries such as print, media, publishing. As we've noticed, especially over COVID-19, there's the decline in print media and publishing, which is inevitable because of obviously everything is going into digital, but also that is also excluding a huge part of our community who haven't, for want of a better word, caught up to the digital information and understanding the impact of that. So that is something that we really need to look at in our communities, because not only is digital taking over, but it's also pushing away from literacy. And so we need to implement policies where we can bring back literacy into different communities. Going back to what media is, there's also photography, cinema, broadcasting, and advertising. I'm very, very passionate about the power of digital content and, of course, what I mentioned before with literacy. And with my work across Africa and working in the different underdeveloped and underprivileged communities, there's also different types of media that work per region. And I think that is something that needs to be explored a little bit more within our country. Moving on to the idea of diversity. Broad aspect, people always understand diversity as being in racial, ethnic, social, economic, geographical, and academic. But this also includes different people from different backgrounds, religious beliefs, political beliefs, sexual orientations, heritage, and of course, life experiences. In terms of what the MDVA do, and I broke it up, and I needed to break up that it's a statutory agency whose mandate is to promote and ensure media diversity. And when we mean statutory, a lot of people don't understand that it's required, permitted, and it's enacted by statute, which means that the agency is responsible for upholding the law and looking after the community that it serves, which is very, very important, which moves to my next point, because South Africa being a democratic country where it's supposed to serve all of its people, and the MDVA should reflect the needs and the aspirations of all South Africans. I will be honest, I think there's, and this isn't just in terms of MDVA, but in terms of broader aspects of other agencies within our government, is that there are a lot of marginalized communities that have been left out, and I want to go into that. So as we know, during the apartheid, many communities were marginalized and disadvantaged, and therefore they didn't have access to the media. And of course, MDVA needs to redress this progress through this process. I believe that an opportunity for MDVA for this will to be provide skills training, specifically in telecoms and digital media, as I mentioned before, when I lived in Uganda. Although a lot of the areas were underdeveloped, there was a very, very high end and strong population following on mobile networks and, of course, radio. And this is something that in terms of working with projects, which I'm going to look at the next slide, in terms of what MDVA could do in these underdeveloped areas, as opposed to just following the main form of media. And media development is essential within the mainstream, but more importantly to community and small commercial media projects, hence the marginalized and disadvantaged, as I mentioned before. One of the main issues which I looked at, and when looking at the website and looking at the work that MDVA do, and of course doing my research online, is that one of the main marginalized communities, which I haven't seen any focus, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been no mention of LGBTQI projects. And for me, this is incredibly important, because we need to educate as a lot of documentation and a lot of research has, or rather, there is no research in terms for the LGBTI community. And because we have a high rate of homophobia and death and transphobia, and the media aren't reporting on that effectively, we need to implement principles where we can not only be able to document on that, but also document people's lives, but also educate. Because a lot of, you know, transphobia, hate, or anything of that statute is usually comes from something called fear. And when people fear something, it's because they don't know anything. So if we're educating people as they go along, I do believe that we could bring about an impact in lowering the death rates within our LGBTI community. I mentioned before about print media's dying out. You know, we need to implement also literacy programs in smaller communities. And a good model to look at is the One City, One Book campaign, which is a world campaign. But, you know, UNESCO identified Durban as the city of literacy for South Africa. And they have different campaigns around about educating communities and getting communities reading again. And this could be another way of implementing the printing media within these communities. The MDDA also encourages ownership and control of and access to media to disadvantaged communities, diminished Indigenous languages and cultural groups, and of course mentioning the LGBTI community again. This I also see as a very good empowerment point, which I'll bring into which in terms of the funding in the next slide, because not only, I mean, as we've moved into COVID, there's a lot of budgets are going to be dropped. So therefore, not a lot of money is going to be able to be handed out into the next group. And so we need to find policies and projects that we can work and rather create collaborations with people, where people can then take ownership of projects as opposed to just handing out huge lump sums of money and just letting a project run on its own. There also needs to be emphasis placed on the development of human resources and training and capacity building. MDDA could also provide partnerships with telecommunication companies and could be seen as equity investors. And once I said earlier on, it's also taking away from the grant aspect and then also encouraging entrepreneurship. In terms of your grant funding scheme, it provides subsidies to individual media projects and to create an enabling environment for the development of a diverse media. A lot of, I think, funding research and focus groups could be done for areas where research hasn't been done. And as I mentioned before, research into the LGBTI community, research into medication or medical supplies for trans people and so forth. Of course, there's also grant funding for advocating of media. And what I mentioned before is that there's also a new approach which you could take, and that is introduce entrepreneurship and partnership training. And through this teaching, communities could then be taught how to pitch, how to attach sponsors to their projects, and then how to also just generate income after that, as opposed to just relying on a grant scheme every couple of cycles. In conclusion, you know, looking at the future and where we're going, obviously COVID-19 has impacted everybody. And the best way to actually deal with this now is to transfer everything to digital media, which is a great, and it provides opportunity for training online and educating people. But we can't move away from the fact that a lot of these marginalized communities are, for want of a better word, not caught up to date in terms of how IT works, how telecommunication works, and so forth. So introducing the future projections that you can bring in stage funding and projects, obviously support the immediate projects that are on there so that at least infrastructures are still running and money is still flowing. But you can also provide training for mobile and telecoms. And this is a great process where a great possibility where MDDA could then partner even and create partnerships with, for instance, ICASA and other telecommunications like Blue Label Telecommunications, and to see how you can build up models to infiltrate these different communities. I also believe that maybe appointing a new desk in the agency itself, not necessarily at a board level, but to hire people to literally understand and the full spectrum of the LGBTI community. As I said before, there's no official data and research that has been documented. And with this new desk, it will formulate this. And of course, this will also add to the impact of being totally inclusive, which goes back to the Constitution of South Africa. Thank you for that. I hope I've got in my 5 minutes.
Thank you, Ms. Mutene. As I said, it's going to be now the interaction. Honourable members will now ask you questions after the presentation, and I will immediately start with Honourable Kumbo,
okay,
followed by Honourable Mackenzie,
okay,
and then Honourable I would follow. So, just to facilitate the interaction, just after the member, you'll directly respond after the questions. So that from my side, I just monitor that things are going smoothly.
Fantastic.
Honourable Kumbo, over to you, Honourable Kumbo.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good evening, Ms. Mutene.
How are you today, sir?
No, I am doing good, man. I'm just having three questions for you.
Okay.
The first one, just want to understand if there is a mismanagement of funds in the MDDA, and you happen to be lucky and be appointed as a member of the board of the MDDA, what strategies will you bring to the board to address this mismanagement of funds? That will be my first question.
Sure.
You got. I hope you got my question.
Yes, I do.
And then the second one, what changes will you bring in terms of the current MDDA fundraising strategies?
Okay.
The last question, as a person who has been in the media fraternity for some time, in terms of a presentation, I think, what is your understanding of the media freedom in South Africa?
The media in?
The media. Media freedom in South Africa.
Ah, okay.
If you can just respond to those questions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm. Can I answer that?
Yes, as I said, just after the member, you'll then come in so there's a flow of the engagement. Yes.
Okay. So in terms of the first question, in terms of management, the mismanagement of funds, I would have to look very, very closely, obviously, at the Constitution and then follow due process. But also, I believe in 100% transparency. So even if the mismanagement of funds haven't been declared by the board, or if I had known behindhand, I would then have to put that to the table, knowing and then taking it forward. And you know, a lot of the time with mismanagement of funds, it usually happens when there's nepotism or somebody hasn't disclosed a specific type of relationship. And one of the reasons why I did agree to this meeting was that in terms of what the MDDA do and who you work with, is that I wouldn't have to recuse myself from any project because there aren't any conflicts of interest at all. In terms of the I just want to go back to my slide. In terms of the funding strategy, what the different things that I would definitely bring is that I would definitely look for more opportunities that we can do online training, because a lot of these marginalized communities aren't up to date with how to work within the digital market. There's also another fantastic idea, because we need to start telling our stories, and a lot of stories are going to come out from the COVID crisis. What better ways also through photographic workshops, and I've seen this happen. Perfect example, if you look at the Marker Theatre Photo Lab, they run different workshops with underdeveloped communities about explaining the narrative and explaining and telling people stories. The beauty about photography and with modern day now is that we don't have to invest in very, very expensive Canon cameras and so forth. We can use just normal cell phones that have a cell phone camera. That also then links into another branch of the funding model, is that we can have a connection. I would definitely create a partnership or a synergy where ICASA and MDDA work much closer together and with other telecoms. Particularly, as I mentioned, blue label telecoms, you can bring in the cell phone networks. And the reason why these partnerships are important is because of COVID-19, budgets are going to be dropped. And there's not a lot of money to be going around, except people at home are still hungry. So with partnerships and collaborations, not only are you going to be utilizing, you won't be utilizing your full budget, but then you'll be able to create a much larger spectrum of different projects and follow that through. And then in terms of media freedom in South Africa, how much time do we have? I think we're very, very privileged in terms of the rest of Africa, and we do have the freedom, but not enough. We need to change certain legislation as we go along in terms of securing media rights, and that's why the ownership of content is very, very important, and that is something that also should be implemented in projects moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Kumbu. Honorable Mackenzie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and welcome, Ms. Mutene. Nice to see you. Nice to have somebody from the other side of the lens. You know, we usually have people from behind. Nice to have a famous face. Ma'am, in your CV, I saw your yoga laughing. I can imagine the absolute joy that must come from a class like that. And just to hear you laughing, it makes me laugh. And so it's very infectious, and I can see why you do it. I'm going to do more research into that.
Please do.
Ma'am, in a previous life of mine, I used to do a bit of writing. Mm-hmm. And I wrote quite a bit for Film Africa, which I'm not even sure if it exists anymore, actually. And one of the things we focused on at the time was the strength of film production and TV production in French-speaking West Africa. Very active, very vibrant, lots of product coming through, obviously in French, because the French government, I believe, is very active in sponsoring arts and culture that use French as a language. So it was obviously a funding stream or revenue stream that enabled the local film industry to develop very strong in Francophone West Africa. What would you do, given your background, firstly, do you know any agencies or, you know, I mean the Germans have that institute, the French have Alliance Française, all these that promote their languages. Are there any agencies, for example, using English, that because our people are, you know, many of our people are quite comfortable in English, that would promote and finance productions like that you're aware of, and could you harness or leverage those connections to help the MDDA grow the film side more? Then are you familiar with NEMISA or the Incumbent Skills Institute? If you can just give me what you understand about what they do and how you would see them playing a more important or key role in the MDDA. I particularly like what you said about online trading. I mean online training, the TEDx courses and stuff. You know, there's so much free material out there. Mm. Then if you can just identify one issue, one controversial issue between the MDDA and ICASA in sort of recent history in the last couple of years, and how would you go about fixing that?
Okay.
And lastly, ma'am, you mentioned LGBTQTI issues. I'm not going to ask you if you're gay. It's irrelevant. I don't have to be a woman to speak on behalf of women. Mm. But how would you drive that specifically? I mean, is there LGBTQTI media at the moment? I mean, I'm sure there's online media, but, you know, is there a radio station? Is there a TV station? What sort of moves or would you make in that area to drive issues on behalf of that community, or certainly to raise the voice of that community.
Okay, perfect. In terms of the what you mentioned about creating content from a producer's point of view, I think it's a brilliant idea, because with the rise of creating low-grade films, and there's been a lot of small production companies have been established, which has been great for the industry, and because it's creating content for TV, but it's also created a void for I'm not going to say old, because I fall into that age group, but as middle-aged filmmakers who are no longer creating documentaries or writing content and so forth, and they're still willing and still able. For the life of me, there is a gentleman, and I can't think of his name, who you will definitely know, who also used to provide a lot of content for Film Africa, David Forbes. Now, for instance, Deborah Forbes is great in terms of writing and great in terms of training. And at one stage, you also mentored me as a producer. So in terms of taking that and taking it to the communities, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant idea. But also working very, very closely with communities from specifically Indigenous languages, because a lot of those are fizzling out. And something which I didn't mention earlier before is that creating and promoting type of content in just local, normal language, African language and vernacular, and that is something that could be done in terms of production and film, and I'll be more than happy to leverage that out. And moving into skills development, I am aware of the Skills Institute. I'm not sure of all of the courses that they do offer. But where I see and understand from MDDA is, yes, providing the bigger and the larger courses, but also remembering that the educational and the opportunity factor is much less than some of the communities. So some of these courses might be a little bit too advanced. And honestly speaking, when I went back home to Northwest and they ran wonderful programs for a lot of people within our Pupugeng village, but when I went, government and other institutions came in and they did that, and I understand that it was supposed to be transferring skills development, but there wasn't any follow-up afterwards. And a lot of the conversations that I had with people on the ground, I was like, well, what did you learn? No, we went in, we learned about diagrams, we learned this and whatever. And I was like, well, then what's the next step? So there wasn't anything that was followed on. So in terms of that skills development, focus needs to be done on each territory to see what is needed and what can be done in that area. So if it's farming, then it's skill development and media training and documentary training and stuff on what they could do so they can become self-reliant on themselves. In terms of MDDA and DICASA, I definitely think that they could work closer in terms of regulating certain projects, on regulating certain policies, and definitely seeing the stronger connection that can be made between telecoms and of course, you know, if possible, bringing down the data rates and so forth. In terms of the LGBTI community, yes, I speak as a queer person, but I speak as a Black queer person, and why it's so important to have people on the ground representing themselves is that I can and I will not speak for a trans person. And over the last year, working within the advocacy programs that I'm doing, is that there are programs, but they're all running alone, and then nothing is done on a mainstream. There's not enough information that is sent out within the media. And it's also very, very important that media need to change the perception of the stereotypes of, for instance, gay men, stereotypes of trans people, educating the difference between a trans woman, transvestite, intersex person, because these are all things that were within our constitution. So in terms of that, there are programs running, and I do have worked with people and experts from university who do run these, but I just think some of these programs need to run within the communities, because the level of deaths that are happening purely out of fear because of transphobia, and there's just no media attention or positive information being sent out, that effectively needs to change. I think I answered all the questions, yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Mackenzie. I'll now give Honorable Falco.
Hi, Ms. Butera. How are you?
I'm good, Mayor. How are you today?
I'm good. Hopefully you will entertain us as you have been entertaining us with Generation today as I'm asking you this question. I thank you for coming so late and for waiting. We appreciate that and for taking this time to apply to form part of this great work. And I know that maybe you will be one of the people, if successful, who can contribute towards making sure that what you have mentioned can be achieved. First, I want to understand, what is your understanding of good corporate governance within the context of the role of the board? My second question is, you've been in the industry for more than 25 years. What needs to be done to diversify the media landscape to ensure media diversity?
Okay.
And then my last question is, how is media literacy and illiteracy important for equality of citizenship? Thank you.
Sure. In terms of good corporate governance, I believe by 100%. You know, I've sat on many boards many NGO boards, and I resigned last year from Power Board purely from the aspect that I believe that I've been there too long. And why corporate governance is very, very important is, as a, from a board level, to make sure that the agency is running accordingly. And for instance, last year the NGO was running without an executive director or CEO for a while. We were working on an interim basis. And it was so important that our board followed corporate governance, where we then made the decision that as a board, we would then step into the operations of the organization until somebody took it over. So I do believe that corporate governance is very, very essential, but I also believe that we need to almost have a relearning and a regrouping of what corporate governance is, because a lot of the time where there's been mismanagement or things haven't gone according to plan, people have always used the excuse of not really understanding not knowing what corporate governance is. So we need to definitely go through that relearning again. Diversity, sorry, can you just repeat the second question again? What about the diversity media landscape?
Okay, what needs to be done to diversify the media landscape to ensure media diversity?
Right. So definitely inclusive of everybody, and it's all very well to be speaking on behalf of people, but the challenges that we could be facing in Pogeng in terms of what media has been sent out, what problems are they having with media, are very, very different to what the challenges are, perhaps what's happening in Kwakwa. So in terms of diversity, is that we need to have people within the agency have contact with different groups on the ground so that we're not just having a mass carpet ideology of thinking, okay, well, every underdeveloped community needs this type of program or this type of funding. We really need to get hands-on and see and go for ourselves and also create that level of partnership, because we don't know, you know, it's more underdeveloped communities. People just think, well, if you just get funding, it's going to grow it. But also we don't understand that the impact of entrepreneurship that happens in these small types of communities, that actually if there's certain skills training that are provided, the huge amounts of funding might not have even been necessary, but this the skill development or teach them how to pitch for a show and connecting them with somebody through a castle or somebody through the IDC and so forth. And then media literacy and illiteracy, if I understand what you were asking, is that people need to understand what their rights are in terms of talking about what issues are and talking about creating awareness. And with understanding what media is about and understanding the different platforms, it's very, very important. And that the literacy can come from what is capable and what you have within your close expertise. So, for instance, when I was living in Uganda, I found it incredibly interesting that there was a problem with electricity. I mean, we complained about our load shedding here. Yes, yet there we had 2-3 generators operating. Yes, we all had 3 or 4 different cell phones running, and there was no breakdowns in telecommunications. So a lot of our And the network I was working for, because I headed up a production, headed up a broadcasting company, a lot of our content was driven for mobile content. And so this is something that we can teach in terms of if we try to send creating awareness across, teaching people basically how to use phones and how you can use your phone to adapt to your farming, to your company and so forth. But then also bring in the aspect of what I brought in before about the fact that many communities aren't reading again. So we bring back interesting and fun projects through the different models, modern technology, but then it's also enhancing the literacy and media literacy.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Mr.
Thank you,
Chair.
Honorable Faku. I'll now take Honorable Kubeka.
How are you this evening, Sis Rosie?
I'm fine, ma'am. How are you today?
I'm fine. Actually, I'm happy to see you. And indeed, I would like to understand and to know very well that what pushes you actually to have an interest of being a member actually of this board of MDDA? Mm. Do you think that that thing that have pushed you, it's going to assist actually the MDDA in these challenges that MDDA it is having at the moment?
Okay.
Then secondly, Sis Rosie, I would like just to understand, as you know, that the ICASA in 2019 had to close a number of community radio stations due to severe of non-compliance with the rules. And
yeah,
also the CENTEC also complains about the non-payment of the signal distribution fees by some stations. What do you think, Sis Rosie, that the MDDA can do to improve the situation?
Okay.
Then the last one, Sis Rosie, on the issue of the print media. With a decline in print media consumption and a move towards digitization, what do you think the MDDA outlook towards community print funding should be? Those are my questions to you, Sister.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Oh. Okay, so what pushes me? This will either get me accepted to the board or close my book forever. My three passions in life are woman, Africa, and the arts. And so I live and breathe in terms of advocacy and people's rights, and I love our country and I love our continent. So the reason why for me, what attracted to me and why now it was important for me to get into that space is that I had my media background, I had my advocacy background, and because I have access to so many of these smaller communities and I know what is happening and nothing is being done, I just feel that just instead of just being the voice for the voiceless, and I hate that term, but I mean, that's what a lot of my activism that I do online, but actually be able to be in the driving seat where we can make that change happen. And I'm about, and why I said inverted commas is that I'm about creating spaces where people can speak for themselves. So when I mentioned before about creating a help desk for LGBTQIs, because a lot of the time we don't know what the demands are. You know, I can speak for myself as a queer person, but I can't speak for a trans person. I can't speak for a person who's living in KZN. And we need to hear those voices and then amplify those voices. And the best way to do that is definitely through media. In terms of ICASA and closing down a community radio stations, you know, radio isn't lost. Radio is still incredibly, incredibly powerful. And it's still part of our tradition, especially African tradition of storytelling. And so I think in terms of MDDA, this is a perfect opportunity where it's not only going to be enhancing training on the digital space, but it will also give platforms for people to take ownership of their work and then continue with it, and that is through podcasting. And there's so many different other platforms. And if you look at models with West Africa, is that a lot of radio stations, not necessarily under a ICASA rule, have created, but it's all under podcasts. I mean, I have my personal podcast, I have ownership of that.
you know, when you have a sponsorship come on board, whoever runs the sponsorship, whoever runs the podcast can then take an equity in a percentage from that. And then that, of course, is also promoting entrepreneurship. So that's another way of looking at that. But then also in terms of a lot of radio stations closing down and not making payments, is that, and you know, this is something that, that you could look at later on, is that what was the process in terms of the funding and explained, and the person, the funding that is handing over, what level of financial literacy do the people have, of understanding, okay, within this trench, it's supposed to be going for this amount of money, and within the media space, something is always bound to go wrong. So, you know, if you could be working in a radio and suddenly a light pops out, you haven't budgeted for that, but that is already like two, 3,000 rand. And if you don't have that light, then you're not going to have any transmission. So it's all of these different things. How was the budget looked at in terms of handing things over to these different radio stations? And then the third question, you said with the decline of print media, I can't remember what else you said, sorry. You said the decline of print media. I don't know what I wrote. Sorry, I wrote so quickly.
Okay. I was saying based on the decline in print media consumption and a move towards the digitization, what do you think the MDDA outlook towards community print funding should be?
I definitely think that there should be still an impact of print funding because there already are existing programs that are running. And that is purely to keep communities flowing, especially during the COVID crisis. But this is a perfect opportunity to bring in the online training of heads of different agencies that are based in different communities who can then transfer the skills to people within the industry. And then, of course, this keeps in with keeping safe distance with communities and so forth. But definitely moving into online training. And then going back to my aspect of bringing in the telecoms, you know, South Africa hasn't utilized mobile content like the rest of Africa has. And that is the direction that it's going to. So, for instance, not to single out a telecom, MTN a couple of years ago was selling space for 8 hours of content. Now, in production, 8 hours of content is a lot. But if you have different models of storytelling, of news, of sports, all on mobile content, that is already skills development, and that is already telling stories from different communities.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I think on my side, I usually don't ask questions, but just to get one point clearer from what you may have raised. From the funding side of things, you also talked about leveraging from partnerships we have had. I think when Honorable McKenzie raised this issue about international agencies and so on. Just from a point of transformation and how it can get distorted by funding as well as control in terms of influencing content. How practically, just say your own perspective, practically, how can you deal with that aspect? Because sometimes the funding can really drive content in a different way, and that whilst you thought that you are creating space for many voices, but the funder may drive it elsewhere, and
yeah,
and it distorts the whole thing that you wanted to transform, ensure that people's voices are heard. So practically,
yeah,
how do you think you can get that balance?
I think definitely transparency and clarity of where the ownership and the power lies. So the funding might be handing over and there's a partnership, but the main goal is to empower a specific community. So if you're going to be transferring skills, within a small community, we'll use Funderbijl Park for an example. You're bringing in a partner, both will be working at their skills development transfer to people within that agency over a certain amount of time where money is going to be given off in different trenches. But there must be common knowledge between two parties of who ownership is going to be taken and what direction that project needs to be taken. The policies will be very intricate because the outcome needs to be in line with what the specifics of that territory are looking for. So as I said before, what challenges we might have here are very different to what challenges would have in KZN or challenges that would have in Mpumalanga. So you need to work within those specific goals and what will empower and enhance that community.
With that point having been clarified, we've now moved towards the end, and I will still give you another minute maximum for your departing point for the committee to take note of. Over
okay.
to you, Ms. Mutale.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Another thing which I didn't mention in my opening, and it's ruffled a lot of feathers, but you know, speaking clearly about what people want, sometimes a lot of people don't want to hear, and that is definitely something that I live by. I believe in listening to every voice in the room as opposed to me speaking for that voice. And as South Africans in general, we need to learn to understand that. And why it's so important to implement that is because of our high rate of xenophobia, a lot of marginalized communities and the problems that are happening in a lot of these communities because there's misunderstanding and mistrust between people. And for the media, it is so important for us to be that gap of communication, but it needs to be that transparent and it needs to be that honest gap of telling the people, of sharing of what the people want to say and what to share.
Okay. Now, thanks once again for sharing with the committee, and I'm sure what we said in the beginning would have been served in that from the questions honourable members would have posed, you still have an opportunity to reflect beyond the interview. And I think even ourselves would have learned a few things from the answers we've shared with the team. Beyond this point, the administration that was interacting with you in preparation for the interview will still interact with you on any other method.
Okay.
That closes actually the interview. As I said once again, you can have a very good night knowing that you've had a good engagement. With,
thank
the...
you.
All right.
Good night, everyone. So, stay warm. Bye-bye.
All right. Tembi, you'll, as Ms. Mutene leaves the meeting, just indicate if the next candidate is connected.
Good afternoon, good evening, Chair.
Good afternoon, what
is it? I see Mr. Foss has brought some tea, so if you want, you can take 2 minutes of stretch whilst I'm trying to get the next candidate in. I'm not sure what's happening now. The candidate has been on the line with me, but... I might need to call him now because he's not open my message. So maybe enjoy the tea from Mr. Foss for 2 minutes and then we can proceed.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can see Honorable McKenzie is trying to reach out.
Good evening, Mr. Kedama.
Yes, sir.
If you can switch on your video to enable us to see you.
Let me do it.
Chairperson and honorable members, we've been joined by Mr. Kondile Kedama. He's our third candidate for the evening, and we spoke to him earlier on, and we took him through the process that the committee will follow for the interview. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you, Tembinkosi. Good evening, Mr. Kedama.
Evening, Chair. And
I hope you can hear us well there.
Chair, I can hear you. You're audible.
Okay, that's good. Honorable members, we are back now. We have the candidate, Mr. Kedama, before us. Mr. Kedama, just to dispense with formalities, as welcome you this evening. Just to indicate that you are appearing before a subcommittee of communications that has been established by the Portfolio Committee on Communications. As the National Assembly rules provide that a committee can set up a subcommittee, this one in particular focuses on the appointment process for the MDDA board and will report back to the committee. So this is the committee you're appearing before. And therefore, the honorable members that I will quickly introduce to you are members of the subcommittee who will then interact with you. Immediately after I've introduced them, I will then allow you an opportunity to briefly introduce yourself. And in that introduction, you will then infuse your presentation so that there's no gap between your introduction and the presentation in the few minutes. We do so because honorable members have had an opportunity of going through your CV as well as the presentation itself, and therefore would interact with you from that informed position. Immediately after your presentation, we'll then give an opportunity to honorable members to ask questions, and that will be in a maximum of 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, it will be both the questions and your responses to the questions that have been asked by a particular member in that scope. So having clarified that, as I said, once again, we are welcome to this evening. I will introduce quickly, we have Honorable Mackenzie, as you see him. We then have Honorable Kubeka. We have Honorable Gumbu. Honorable Gumbu. Then we also have Honorable Fagu. They will also, you'll see them as also when they engage you. So that's Honorable Fagu and then Honorable Gumbu. Chairing is Honorable Maneli, as you can see, Honorable Maneli. We have two other members that have not been able to join us, Honorable Machos and Honorable Pambo, but were able to proceed given the numbers we have. In this regard, I'm not going to take time, but allow Mr. Kedama to take stage and briefly introduce himself and present to the subcommittee. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know if it's my gadget that does. Chair? Can you hear me, Chair?
Sorry, Chairperson, if you can hear, Chairperson, you are on mute. So that is why the candidate is unable to hear you.
No, but he heard me that he must keep his camera on. He's on now. Thank you.
No. Okay, Chair. Chair, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for your people to load the presentation.
Yes, as they load the presentation, as I said, you can, in the meantime, get to the introduction of yourself, then infuse the presentation. There it is, they are uploading it.
Oh, no, thanks. Chair, I am Kondile Kedama, as indicated on the CV. Chair, professionally, I am in the space of communications. I have a chair. Played a role in the space of establishment, maybe, of community media. Chair, previously, some decades back, you'd remember that the reason that we have a community media today, it is because then it was branded an alternative media. So the new dispensation allowed for a new idea that would culminate in a form of community media. Chair, luckily, I've been part of some of the processes that led to what we call a community media today. And I have had a stint with the Star. I had a program that I attended, the journalism program, that focused at the Pentec Peninsula Technicon then. The program was designed through the ruling party chair, and it focused particularly in journalism chair. The later chair, we then, those who formed part of the program, formed the bigger media industry, and chair, I after my stint as a reporter at the Star, I joined the ruling party as the media officer then. Today they call it a spokespeople and so. And later, chair, I was responsible at the Free State Legislature communications, and subsequent to that, chair, I joined the city as the head of communications. Chair, I have been part of a number of forums and other structures of both media and communications, with a special focus, chair. Sometimes I would focus on writing, if chair can. Maybe and the leadership there Google me. I produced quite a lot of work as a social activist, chair, dealing with a number of issues. Chair, not so long, I think 2 years or so, I won a SADC award writing on water, scarcity of water in the southern region. I also played a pivotal role of elevating the city, and I was also awarded there as one of the good marketers. Chair, if you allow me, I will go through the presentation quickly. Chair?
Yes, you can proceed. As you said, you will infuse the presentation in the introduction. Yes.
Okay. Chair, but you can still hear me. Am I right?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair, and members of the committee. Chair, the I've just tried to outline the role of the agency MDDA. Chair, if I'm trying to scroll, Tembi, I don't know what have they done here. But Chair, the outline relates to the objectives, the legislative mandate, the communications strategy, the grant funding to achieve the objectives of the agency. Next slide. Chair, if you look at the mandate of the committee, of the agency. It's aiming at enabling the environment for media development agency to reflect the needs and aspirations of all South Africans, to redress the exclusion of marginalization of the disadvantaged communities, to promote the media development and diversity by providing support primarily to community and small commercial media projects. Chair, it also encourages ownership and control and access media by historically disadvantaged communities, as well as by historically diminished indigenous language and cultural groups. It also encourages the development of human resources and training capacity within the industry, especially amongst historically disadvantaged groups. It also encourages channeling of resources to the community, media, and small commercial sectors, and also raise the public awareness with regard to the media development and diversity issues. That is the I was on the legislative mandate, Chair. Next slide, please. Chair.
Yes, Tembinkosi, if you are assisting, yes. Yeah, that's the next slide, okay.
Chair, the agency, with regards to the legislative mandate, the agency, Tembi is also, the agency, the MMDA establishment and mandate is primarily set out through the Media Development and Diversity Act of 2002. This legislation, Chair and honorable members, purpose is to establish the Media Development and Diversity Agency to provide for its objective and functions, to provide for the constitution of the board and the management of the agency, to also provide for the chief executive officer and other staff of the agency to execute their responsibilities, Chair, but to also focus on finances of the agency and to provide the support for the project aimed at promoting media development and the license from the ICASA. Chair, if you look at this mandate, it focuses specifically on the activities of the agency itself. Tembi, can I have the next slide? Okay, Chair, I'm just waiting for Tembi to. It's quite a small font, but.
Chairperson, sorry, I am trying from my side to move with the candidate. I think currently I'm on the second slide of the legislative mandate, so the candidate can then direct me on how I should proceed.
I can continue. I just hope, I'm trying to check if we're not repeating anything to members of the portfolio committee. Chair, the legislative mandates, as it continues, the MDDA must also ensure the adherence to the Electronic Communication Act of 2005. The Public Finance Management Act of 1999, that is PFMA, and the Promotion of Administration Justice Act of 2000, that is PAJA, Chair. The other point, Chair, that follows is these concern promotion of media diversity and development, good and accountable governance and administrative justice. The Independent Communication Authority of South Africa Act of 2000, as amended, Chair, which gives ICASA the power to grant and renew transfer and revoke licenses, also impacts on the MDDA as financial support is only granted to those broadcast projects. Yes, Chair Tembi has just moved, but I had finished with that point. Chair, we are on the department's communication policy. Chair, what I wanted to demonstrate here, more than any other thing, it is to show that the agency is not performing on its own, or an agency that it's not working within a particular mandate. The Department of Communication Policy Framework demonstrates, Chair, the some of its mandate through the establishment of the agency itself, that is MMDA. So the slide, Chair, was trying to show that the agency, that is MDDA, is a statutory organ established through the Act and operates within the framework, communication policy framework. That is what the slide was all about. Can you move, Tammy? Chair, on the mandate of the agency, I've picked up some few points. That is create an enabling environment for media development and diversity, which reflects the needs and the aspirations of all Africans, redress of the exclusion and marginalization of the disadvantaged communities and persons from access to the media and the media industry. The last point on this, Chair, is promote media development and diversity by providing support primarily to community and small commercial media projects. Chair, on this slide, I'm just trying to demonstrate the target audience, which is your historically disadvantaged communities, the historically diminished languages, which we have covered earlier, and Tembi has just moved, but that was the last point. Chair, this is the last slide that it's focusing on grant funding to achieve the objectives. Obviously, Chair, the agency cannot perform without resources, but also the funding that would look, amongst others, it's targeted projects, Chair, also leveraging resources and support through technical assistance, conducting and funding research, Chair, which I will talk to, I'm sure, as we continue with the interview, facilitating the capacity building. Chair, I think this was the last slide that is also looking at advocating for media, which is advocacy for media, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Kedama. As I said, after your presentation, honorable members will then engage with you. In case I may have not emphasized this point, that take this as an opportunity for you to relax and engage with the subcommittee members so that they learn from your answers, and you'll also learn from the questions that they would pose to you. So relax and engage the members. I will now take honorable members in the order. Honorable Gumbu will be one, followed by Honorable Mackenzie. Honorable Mackenzie will be followed by Honorable Faku. And then Honorable Faku will be followed by Honorable Kubeka, in that order. Honorable Kumbu will be the first, but just to facilitate the flow of the engagement, after a member would have asked the questions and hand over to you to answer, you will immediately answer without the chair having to come in from time to time, just to allow that the engagements flow. That's cool. Honorable Kumbu.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good evening, Mr. Kadama.
Evening, Honorable Member.
I hope you are doing well this evening.
No, I'm relaxed as requested by the chair.
No, that's good.
Okay,
I'm having some few questions for you, about three questions, right?
Thanks, Honorable Member.
From your introduction and presentation, I can see that you are a communicator. yes. I just want to understand how will your experience in communication contribute in changing the NDDA and why, if you can just elaborate on that. My second one will be just to get your understanding of the nature of the relationship between ICASA and the NDDA. Are you able to follow my questions?
I am following, Chair.
The third one, which will be the last one, I just want to check and understand if there is a there could be the mismanagement of funds in the MDDA, and you are lucky, you have been appointed as one of the board members of the MDDA. What strategies will you bring to address this?
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Kumbu. I will start with the last one on mismanagement. The but at the end of the day, sometimes the mismanagement is not only happens because of corruption. It happens because of left understanding. So I think one of the areas that has to be strengthened in the agency is ensuring that those people that have been funded are taken on board and making sure that issue around youth funds and accountability become central. The other question that you raised, Honorable Gumbu, it is the relation between the agency ICASA. ICASA is responsible for licensing and ensuring that there is adherence. And the agency does its part in making sure that these entities do exist. Now, the other thing that I was going to come in our discussion, it is looking at the mandate of both the agency and ICASA. What I have noticed is that you do not, as the ICASA, and just switch off and take out and take the license. There's got to be something that the agency does in making sure that its relations with the role players within the media space. And amongst it, Chair, it is the ICASA. The relations between the ICASA and the agency have to be in such a way that even before, for example, in a case where there is non-adherence to the license stipulations, there must have been an interaction with the agency. Now, what I'm trying to say, Chair, as I close this response, is that the relations between the role player agent have to be in a way strengthened so that by the time they go to the end user, which is your community entity, there must have been an interaction. Chair, the last question by Honorable related to my experience. Do you want to repeat it for the last time, Honorable Gombo? The question that relates to experience and...
Do you want me to repeat it?
Yes, the one that relates to my experience and...
No, I just want to understand how will your experience in communication. As I said, that I can say that you are a good communicator. Contribute to changing the MPDA and why?
Luckily, Honorable Gombo, the space I found myself in as a communicator and previously as a news gatherer. Has allowed me to understand exactly what the community media is. And I have tried to play a role in understanding as to why are some of these entities actually fail. And amongst some of the things that I've picked up is that the as much as government tries its level best to support community media, one of the things that I've picked up lately, actually in the recent years, is that media, community media, loses its touch in terms of their mandate. I, for example, in my province, there's a radio station that was closed in Metsimaholo in Sasolburg. And I did a little bit of research into why this radio station was actually closed. Instead of doing what they are supposed to do as broadcasters, they were getting into things of the community that is fighting, politics that are involved there, and you know. Now, Chair and Honorable Gombo, one of the things that we need to, in our space, to do is ensuring that these entities focuses on their mandate and what they're supposed to do. And I can't overemphasize the issue of continuous training, because you get good journalists or reporters or broadcasters within community media. But what we do not do, it is to supervise them, to encourage them, to make them understand of their role within the community, that theirs is to transmit the information. It is to empower the community, particularly that is disadvantaged, that cannot even afford to get into the bigger platform when it comes to media. So I think the agency has to look at in that space of making sure that these people who are practicing within community media entities are not just funded or being neglected, but from time to time, there's got to be a mechanism that brings some consciousness into their practice, that more than any other thing, they are not necessarily politicians, or yes, they are social activists in their nature, but they have a mandate of empowering community with information without being biased, without getting into other spaces that are far from broadcasting. And I think, Chair, one will come handy in developing a mechanism that will look into that space. Honorable Gombo?
No, thank you. And thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Gombo. I will now invite Honorable Mackenzie.
Thank you very much.
Can Honorable Gombo switch off his mic?
I'll do that, Honorable Vago.
Chairperson, am I protected?
You are still fully protected, Honorable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Good evening, Mr. Kadama. How are you?
I can't complain, Honorable Mackenzie. Good to see you and good to be in your midst.
Good to see you too. I see you nicely wrapped up and warm for this evening. Indeed it is, sir. Mr. Kadama, you've obviously got quite a political background, and that interests me because, you know, clearly a lot of your training and your development comes through your political connection. Nothing wrong with political affiliation. How do you feel, or what would be your approach as an MDDA board member to ensure that, especially in light of local government elections coming up, for example, that. Sorry, Chairperson, can I just deviate for a minute? You know, we've been talking a lot about content production, about filming, about what you can do. If you look at our screens, what we're doing here is creating content. I'm putting a little line at the bottom of my scoring spreadsheet where for every candidate that comes before us, depending on the background, how they dressed, how they convey, whether I've got a full picture of their face, then I give them a score out of 5. I'm just saying, for creating content. So, Mr. Kadama, just for the record, I can only see your mouth, just below your mouth and your chin. Now I can see your face. Thank you, sir. let me get back to that question. So how would you ensure that there's a diversity? I mean, assuming I'm the EFF, there's a station or community in Lusikisiki that's being served by a community broadcaster. I'm giving a hypothetical example. That's funded by the MDDA. It's an old traditional ANC stronghold. Obviously, most of the voices, the traditional voices that are coming from that community reflect that ideology. And it's a perfectly natural thing. There's nothing wrong with it. How would you encourage the people that you fund to expand that diversity of political voices in order to, so in other words, to get a spokesperson from the EFF to come to Lusikisiki and present their electoral manifesto come that time, should there be such a program? So just along those lines, what would you do to enhance political diversity in MDDA programs? Then quite recently, within the last year, there was an issue with CENTEC and the MDDA, and the MDDA is a representative of certain parties, certain broadcasters, certain stations. Do you know what that issue was? And how would you go about resolving that issue? If you don't know what the issue was, then obviously you don't need to answer that follow-up question. And then, Mr. Kadama, let's say that our revenue projection for the year is so bad, and we've collected so little revenue that after education, health, and defense, all we've got left is nothing for the MDDA. How would you, as a board, we can pay the board their stipends, how would you as a board member of the MDDA ensure that the mandate of the MDDA is still carried forward? What would you do innovatively to ensure that the voiceless get voices? Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Mr. Kadama.
No, thanks. Thanks, Honorable McKenzie. The issue around how do you strike a balance between political activism and execution of professionalism. For me, it's an interesting one because you'd expect that those people, for example, who are in the space and practicing as, for example, if you look at community radio station, you'd take that whoever gets into that space. The issue that you get a person who comes from the space, who does not have views, who does not belong to a political organization by any chance, for me, it's a myth. What is critical for me? It is what you execute. If I've been able to work as, for an example, the spokesperson for the city, and I'm still able to represent the city without being biased as to who is the ruling party, but focusing on my mandate of administration and ensuring that I articulate the position of our administration without really putting the issues of politics in it, is an indication that anybody who is professional in his or her job can be able to separate issues. If you are into the media space, you should be able to say, as a practitioner, I have to, despite, in fact, if you are to look at the previous media practitioners, whether you're talking about journalists or so, most of them who are in the system today, in any newspaper, in any government department, they are executing their job with respect and professionalism without necessarily showing as to their political inclination. So I'm saying to the honourable member, the issue of professionalism would lead you to be unbiased in execution of your mandate wherever you are. It doesn't matter whether you are practicing as a broadcaster. It doesn't matter as to whether you are a member of the board. But if you understand, and a little bit of education, of course, if you understand corporate governance, if you understand and drive within your lane as a professional, there's absolutely no way in which you can be deterred by your inclination into a political school of thought. On the issue of, does Honorable McKenzie want to go to another question?
Yes, you can answer.
Honorable McKenzie, ask the questions that you've dealt with the first question. Yeah.
Yeah, the other question that Honorable McKenzie raised, it is the issue around the agency and the revenue. He drew a worst case scenario where the agency has to live within, has to cut its cloth according to the size of the body. Now, in that situation, Honorable McKenzie, you have to, first thing that you have to look into, it is to check as to where do you cut as an agency. And the first thing that you'd want to look into, it is the projects that are there. But Honorable McKenzie, if you allow me, there is one dimension that I would want to raise through the chairperson that I think it would be of interest to experience, particularly in the agency, with the developments of fourth industrial revolution, with the state of with operation under COVID. If you are to look at the operations that are being rolled out through the new technologies, I can tell you with confidence that most of them are reasonable. You spend, but you spend reasonably. And these are some of the things that the agents have to look into. If you are to look at, for argument's sake, if most of the current print media people have to move to new technologies, and they start producing their work through online applications, that's going to be a mistake. And it would need a very creative team to look into that space and making sure that as the agency, we save as possible as we can and reinvest that money in other projects. So for me, the other thing that I was going to raise would be with the leadership of the portfolio committee. It is the challenge and the opportunities that comes with COVID-19. Where you get, amongst other things, the use or the fast tracking of technology that drives our normal practice into the mainstream of technology. Yes, there are challenges because you still have the disadvantage that the agency is supposed to represent and that are still into the traditional practice of printing and so on. But this is the space that we have to look into carefully and check as to how best we utilize in firstly making sure that we are reskilling people into that space, but also saving resources and reinvest them in other areas of interest then. Honorable McKenzie?
You can proceed with... We are struggling to hear you now.
Honorable McKenzie, is there a question that I'm leaving behind?
Yes, there was an issue with Centec and the MDDA. Are you aware of it? And if you are, what would you do to address it?
The Centec and MDDA.
Yeah, is there an issue? Is there some problem with, in the last year, has there been a problem with Centec? Does Centec have a problem with the MDDA and the people it represents? Let me ask it like that.
Okay, no, Honorable McKenzie, I'm not conversant with what is happening into that space. But if you were to ask me of the Centec itself, Centec is one of the key stakeholders stakeholders of the agency itself. As I indicated earlier, that one of the critical areas that has to be looked into, it is managing the stakeholders differently. Let me cite an example that I tried to look into earlier, Chair, of ICASA. The ICASA, there's a lot of issues that are happening in the ICASA that could be resolved through the intervention of the agency. And if agency build a capable leadership to step up its game and making sure that they resolve some of the issues amicably, the better, Chair. Honourable Member?
I'm fine. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We can hear you, Mr. Kidama. So, Honourable Mackenzie's questions have been answered. Thanks, Honourable Mackenzie. We will now move to Honourable Faku.
Good evening, Mr. Kidama. How are you?
Evening, Honourable Member. I am okay in your hands, my Honourable Member.
I see that you are dressed warm and it's very cold and we need to be safe. And thank you for your presentation. I think what I enjoy mostly when you were presenting is to give us the history of community radio. And I appreciate that because I think it's important for you to understand where we come from and where we want to go. So I want to hear your view. According to you, where do you think that MDA must remain with the current business model, or does it need to be changed? That is my first question. My second question is, how can MDA remain relevant and financially stable in the digital era? My last question basically will be, you've been in the sector for quite some time. What needs to be done to diversify the media landscape to ensure media diversity? Those are my questions. I hope I'm clear.
You are clear, Honorable Fagu.
Okay, thank you.
Honorable Fagu, let me jump straight to the last question that you have raised of diversification. If you look at, for an example, the issue around big conglomerates within the media space, they have been able to do a lot of investment and in time. And one example that I'm going to cite, it is the example of NASPERS. NASPERS, as far back as 2018, already that invested on Tencent. Tencent is one of the biggest social media company that is based in China. Already, they show you that they are miles ahead. If the community media is coming, crawling, and so, it means it is going to be very difficult for ordinary to make inroads in terms of, let's for argument's sake, ad spending. The NASPERS through Tencent, which is the company that they are having a stake, a 31% stake, which is the biggest in the world, one of the biggest in the world on social media. As they approach a period where they need to make now returns into their investment, poor community media will be coming and crawling and so. But what do we do, Honorable Faku, as the agency, in making sure that we do investment in time and that the investment that will allow us to diversify, amongst other things? This COVID-19 gives us an opportunity to relook firstly on amending the policy, that the policy is flexible enough to allow the new technologies and our community to get into new technology space and make an impact now, because any delay from now, it will mean that poor community media will come crawling when your NASPERS has already started and making lots and lots of profits again. Now, it is incumbent of the new leadership that is coming into the agency to look at that space and check as to What is it that should be done in making sure that there is an investment that is made in time and the investment that talks to new developments within community media generally, whether it's broadcasting, whether it's publications, whether it's other spaces that would relate to your new innovations that would be on the table then. The issue around honorable, I think I've also I've dealt with the new model already. I would like to get to the other question that Honorable Fagu just raised. Honorable Fagu.
Yeah, I think there is a question there in relation to whether the MDDA needs to remain in the way it is or whether it could be changed. And if that's the case, why would you want to propose that? I hope I've represented you well, Honorable Fagu, on that first question.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm saying there is, under the sun, there is nothing static. There's absolutely no way in which the mandate of a agency can remain as it is. The agency has to respond to challenges of the day. And if it has to do so, it has to change its mandate. It has to temper with its mandate. Change, maybe it's too harsh. It has to temper with its mandate. For an example, there are new developments now, as I indicated as an example. There's got to be, and I would still emphasize this, there's got to be a way in which the policy is amended so that it responds to challenges of the day. If, as an example, we are saying we're going to be focusing more on the new technologies and how broadcasting, publication, and so are moving towards new technologies, then it means that there's got to be a way in which we are tempering with the policy. There's got to be a way in which we relook at the mandate of the agency as to whether it responds to challenges of the day. If there is a need for us to make sure that the agency changes the way it looks at things and the model of funding, that should happen, Chair. Yes, I cannot put it on the table right now because I may not know as to what is the current state, but the reality is that there's absolutely no way in which the mandate cannot be tampered with because there are developments and these developments are coming with a high speed and we have to respond to those changes as the agency. Chair?
Thank you, Honorable Fagu. We'll now take Honorable Kubeka. Honorable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair. Mola Mhlobo wami.
Honorable Member.
How are you, Mhlobo wami?
Honorable Member, I cannot complain in your capable hands.
Thank you very much, Mhlobo wami. Firstly, let me say maybe I'm
Oh, sorry, Honorable Member, I cannot see. I didn't see that. It's Honorable Kubeka. Honorable Member.
I was saying I'm happy because I've heard that you can manage the challenges, especially as you have raised what happened here in this community radio stations. So, which means you've got the direction and ability to change. And also just to clarify, as you have raised, to say other stations, maybe it's because in order to attend to whatever that they were supposed to focus on it, they deviate. So I'm happy on that because I can hear very well to say, Mhlobo wami, if we can say we are appointing you, which means you'll try by all means to give the direction actually into these community radio stations. So I'm saying as we find ourselves in this current socio-economic situation due to COVID-19, what do you think can MDDA do different in future with regard to assisting especially community radio to keep its audience? This is the first question. Then the second one, with a decline in print media consumption and a move towards digitization, what do you think MDDA outlook towards community print funding should be? This is the second question. The last question, Mhlekazi, considering the difficult economic conditions we find ourselves in as a country, which may lead to the budget reductions at MDDA, what innovative funding approaches would you suggest for the MDDA going forward? Then Bulele Mhlekazi.
Diabulela, honourable member. Honourable member, I am going to bring your questions into one, but I'm going to respond to you in a form of what I am practically doing now. One of the things that we have engaged in my space, honourable member, is that we early this year and late last year, we called all the community media, whether it's broadcasting, whether it's print, and so I asked them as to what is it that you do in making sure that other than the funding that you're getting from the agency, you do in order to augment your income. And the honorable member, I must indicate that I was not convinced with what I got from the practitioners. What I said to them, I said, but you have small businesses that are existing within your locality. What proposal do you give them in order for them, if they have a 5 rand that they can spend in advertising with you, what type of proposal that we do? Now, what we have failed to do, it is to train community media in ensuring that they also have an element of business with themselves, where they are going out, they get a nice small marketer who is very sharp, who can be able to talk to business and ensure that other than the funding that they get, they augment what they have, because obviously their demands are bigger than what they get from the agency. Now, it has been my conviction, Honorable Kubek, that I am going to make sure that in my space, I put all these small businesses that I see that they have a potential to advertise, to communicate directly with, in my province, to communicate directly with community media and see how best do they utilize these platforms. Because this thing for me, it's tit for tat. As much as business and small businesses is getting information from these institutions, in return, they also have to make some kind of contribution. But also, you also teach the small business that for you to be able to flourish, you don't necessarily have to go to a big established entity or a newspaper or a big radio. You can still go to your own locality and make sure that you advertise, because if they are well-trained and they do, Honorable Nomsa, they do what they are supposed to do in informing the community, in keeping the community up to date with the developments in that locality, make sure that the community participate in that community radio station or a newspaper or a TV, they will definitely have an upper hand in terms of numbers in the community that they serve. And there's absolutely no way in which small businesses can see an opportunity of advertising with those entities. So it has been my responsibility. I've actually taken it upon myself to put these small businesses and community media under one roof so that they can understand that they need each other. That is one way in which they can improve their revenue. But over and above that, you also need an innovative way of introducing yourself to your audience. One of the things that, for an example, community radio stations do, it is to ensure that they are prominent in other platforms like your social media and so. So they talk the language that is spoken out there by the broader community, by the diverse community like your youth, your elderly people. Once they can master that, they will maximize numbers and their revenue in terms of ads will definitely go up. Honorable member?
I'm saying this one of the print media.
Do you want to repeat it, honorable member?
On the issue of their consumption to move for digitization.
Oh, honorable member, if you can, you can look at the developments now. I know that you have raised the issue of COVID-19. You have also raised the issues as to how do the print media, if I quote the honorable member correctly, align itself with the new development. The reality is that if you can look at numbers, honorable member, the numbers of community radio stations or radio stations that are online radio stations, it's increasing. That shows you that there is an interest in online. But the only snack that you get with online, for example, online radio, online newspaper, lies with the data. The data is expensive, and ordinary people that the community media is targeting cannot afford that. So it is, again, the responsibility of the agency to relook as to how do they advocate also for an affordable data. But the other thing that we need to look into sharply, it is the role of ICASA and the transmission fees, because ICASA has to make sure that community media affords transmission fees, because if they do not talk to each other, there's absolutely no way in which community media can survive. So the issue of stakeholder relations comes into play again in making sure that the agency strengthens its relations with the relevant stakeholders, like ICASA, for example, in this regard, where they could contribute. I've made an example of transmission fees. They must do so. And then I'm sure with stakeholders, we can also be able to formulate other strategies in looking as to how best do we make community media to survive during this one, new technologies, but also now that the COVID-19 is accelerating the fourth industrial revolution.
Honorable Kubeka. Mr. Kedama, just make sure that your camera is kept on so that we understand if we can't see you that it may be the connection problem we must address in the Free State as part of the task of COVID.
Thank you, President.
So I think the honorable members would have asked their questions. Usually on my side, it wouldn't be to ask a question, but just to be sure that what you raised, one would have been able to pick up well. I think whilst you talk to the stakeholders, the need to be entrepreneurial in approach from the side of the community media. I think what we really need to understand from what you raise is the active role that the MDDA can play in terms of ensuring the balance in creating media diversity by having a number of community radio stations and community print media serving particular interests, vis-a-vis the sustainability. Of those community media platforms in this call, so that you don't get to a point where you've paid grants, you've done everything else, equipment is there, but at the end, these community media platforms are closed down by CENTEC and ICASA in that way, because then CENTEC will say it's about signal distribution and have not been able to pay. ICASA will talk about not meeting the requirements of the license as it was issued. So I think the point is really that yes, they may have to play the role as the community media platforms, but what can be done by the MDDA now as the agency that has invested those resources from taxpayers' money in particular and investors that contribute to MDDA. So if you can just lift up that point as opposed to just the community radio stations themselves.
No, thank you. Thanks.
Just keep coming so that we can see you still. Thank you.
Is it better, Chair? Chairperson?
We can't see you, but we can hear you better. But we can't see you.
Can you see me now, Chair?
Not yet, but if you keep your camera on, I think finally Free State will get closer to where we are. Thank you, but you can proceed whilst your camera is on. Thank you.
Chair, the what I've identified based on your input, what I've seen is that the agency is doing a lot. I must indicate I've looked at the recent activities in terms of relief funding and so, but the agency is not visible, because I would want to go back to Honorable Kubek, that if the agency can be visible, visit these radio stations, visit these newspapers, for me it can make an impact. Coming back to your question, Chairperson, I think even in terms of operations, the manner in which operations are organized at this stage, they are not geared towards making the type of impact that you'd want to see outside in terms of interaction with the people that you are funding. So the issue of operations, yes, you would find the say, for example, the chief executive officer out there, but the board members themselves have to see some of the things with their own eyes, go there, experience, and not rely on the reports and what the administrative organ is doing. So for me, Chairperson, as I conclude, the operations of the agency in terms of visibility, it's something that has to be given an attention and urgently so.
All right, thanks, Mr. Kedama. Even though we are struggling to see you towards the end, but at least we can still hear you. As we are to wrap up, I will still afford you maximum 1 minute for your departing point that you'd want the committee to remember as you'll be leaving the meeting sooner. Over to you.
Chairperson, let me first thank the honourable members for giving me an opportunity to really express my views in the space of community media and the space of the leadership of the board itself. But Chair, I must indicate that there are opportunities that are there in the board itself, but also there is a need, Chair, to look at the activities of the agency and check as to the impact that they make in line with their mandate. So, Chair, I want to think that given an opportunity, those are some of the things that one would look into and check as to what type of contribution do we make. Chair, as I in my introduction, remember the community media, it is the culmination of what was then an alternative media. So it is up to us as participants to see to it that this area is executing its mandate and the ordinary people are benefiting out of it, and the money that is being spent there is value for it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Kedama. As I said, we are now wrapping up. We really want to once again thank you for sharing with the committee in terms of your answers. I think from what I said earlier, it's really been an interactive session. Surely members would have learned a few things from this interaction. As well as yourself, you'll have an opportunity to reflect even further beyond the interview on the questions that would have been posed by honourable members. Otherwise, we must really thank you that you are still standing in this freezing environment of the Free State. I know, but we really appreciate it's a sign of commitment. Thanks for that, and really have a good night. At least you still have hours to tonight. We are still soldiering on to take other candidates. Thanks a lot, and good night.
No, thanks for the opportunity, Chair, and to the members.
The administration is the one that will engage with you beyond this point, as they were engaging with you in preparation for the interviews. So as you leave the meeting, Thembi Nkosi, please help us to connect to that.
Thanks, Chair.
All right.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am just waiting for Mr. Mateza to connect. You should join us at any given moment. In the meantime, just request Mr. Kedama to press the red button and hang up, so that he is fully excused in the meeting. But as I'm talking to you, Chair, I'm just trying to check if he's eventually joined. I see. Mr. Mateza?
Yeah, we still have Mr. Kedama, so if you can leave also.
He is left, Chairperson. Mr. Kedama has left. I'm just trying to see if Mr. Mateza has not joined in yet. I spoke to them just as you were summing up and asked them to join the meeting. So, yes, Chair. I'm just going to give a quick call just to find out if there might be any challenges, Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson, in the meantime, is there any possibility of getting us some of those nice parliamentary masks? And the ones with Parliament on, they're really, really nice. Or do you have to attend?
I'm sure Honourable McKenzie, there may be an opportunity as the lockdown eases that you'll have access to yours.
Thank you. Just put one in my pigeonhole. That'll be fine. I'll collect it later.
It's interesting that at least there are incentives for you to go to Parliament just to get the mask.
And to see the college. Sure, I miss you guys, man.
Yeah,
It's not the same, you know.
And then you disclose after that.
You know, I won't show you what I'm wearing. You can see I'm very nicely dressed here, but it's like I'm dressed for the news. You know, from the waist down is the problem.
Oh, I now understand why you keep the red tie. Your examples are more like if you appear as the EFF.
We have kept up.
my agenda is revealed, and I thought I was being clever.
He has kept up.
Only the chief whip of the DA is not listening.
Okay. Can you imagine coming for an interview? You can see yourself on the screen. Now I'm going to talk to you like this during my interview. Okay, we're going to have a night. You know what I'm saying. Okay,
really.
Because this is, it's presentation.
I've heard about that 5% of the content.
Without interrupting this fruitful discussion, Chairperson, you may continue with it, Chair, whilst our ICT support is trying to get Mr. Mateza online. You know, not all of us, Chairperson, are from the digital age. So we are assisting Mr. Mateza, and as soon as ICT has confirmed, then he will be training us. Thank you, Chair.
It's only people from the Eastern Cape who are okay.
I was born in 1960. That's about far from the digital age.
Nothing to do with AIDS, Honourable McKenzie. I think that's probably the mistake. And I know this would have been a discussion about even going out. Others were arguing that it is the old age that must stay home. And you may find that there are those that are healthier, older than they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, I hear that argument that no, this parliamentarian may not be able to go. But the reality is a lot of them are very fit.
You show me another 60-year-old man that gets shot in his arm with a hollow point bullet, it smashes his arm, and here he sits a couple of months later, no problem. 60 years old. The young people, they would still be lying in bed, wrapping bandages, crying. We're tough. This generation, we're tough.
No, Temkosi has withdrawn. Has withdrawn. The age factor is not... he has withdrawn on that.
You have all said in good faith, Chairperson. It doesn't mean to harm him, to cause any harm.
Okay. Tembi, can we... I need to speed up. I know in many spaces...
Is this our last candidate?
Yes, that's the last candidate
I'm on it, Chair. I'm really on it to get the last candidate. You can't delay now. with the last candidate while we've been doing so well. So we're working hard on it with ICT to get him online.
I see that Gauteng is very clear today.
Clear and cold. Clear and cold.
Yeah, it's very clear and cold, as it says. Clear and cold. That's why we want connection.
You know, Chair,
challenge is in Free State now.
You know, as a youngster, I grew up in Cape Town, Chair, and I used to walk from just below the cable station to Friedhoek, where my primary school was, and back again. Every day I used to walk. That was 3.5 miles there, 3.5 miles back. And then when
that
I went to high, I used to walk down the mountain and then up the mountain in the afternoon. I used to walk. My son can't even walk to the gatehouse to get an Uber. Fetch him here by the fence.
That is why you look good, Mackenzie. That is why you look good.
You know,
thank you, man.
We have gained weight too much, Honorable Mackenzie.
Oh, no.
I hate COVID.
They must not respond to that topic. They will get into trouble.
The generation is under attack here, you know, from Mackenzie.
We need to exercise every day.
Maybe so, but I mean, you know, Chia, when I got shot, I lost 15 kilograms. I went down to 93 kilos. I'm now back to 105.
Back very to 100,
yes.
So you were scared, eh?
Speak from 8 o'clock.
I just wasn't hungry.
We're having more than 3 meetings today. More than 3.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Women caucus this side is, Free State caucus this side is, you can imagine.
And in the process, you eat more than you are supposed to eat.
Oh, too much.
I don't like to eat. I like to drink.
but Jackie Kelly has stopped the drinking. But I don't do you drink.
Not that one. I'm fine with the minister.
No, for others, then the health is good.
Yeah. Hey, man, this thing has actually deep-throated a lot of people. You know, I did not, you know, so many young people that have interacted in the past. When I look at them on Facebook now, I'm like, is this you? You look so good. So this was a good detox process.
That's a good part to it.
Yeah.
At least one was able to discover one, you know, without any pressure.
Yeah.
You know, for fun, Chair, what I do is I just put these names into Google. I put it in, then I write scandal or corruption or bribery. Then I see what comes up. Nothing comes up, it's fine. Something comes up, then we ask the questions.
But you must also be careful that others have been unverified stories when they're verified thank later.
Yeah,
that's correct. That's definitely.
I know. I was a bit embarrassed with one of the candidates. I still thought I was in 2019.
Yes.
But it's okay. I got shot. It's an excuse. I got shot. I can be excused.
So you're saying the memory may also have been affected a bit?
Yes, exactly. The trauma affected my memory.
I like that excuse.
You know, one of my colleagues is...
We're
ready to fight,
man.
Yes, I know. Sorry for the delay. IT is really working hard to trying to assist Mr. Mateza. As we speak, they are with him on the line. We had tried to show him earlier, and all seemed well. But now we are just having those challenges, Chair, but we're promising to get him online as soon as possible, Chair.
Otherwise, we should agree to take a break until 20 past.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah, right, 20 past. Back, he can come again.
Yeah.
Okay.
McKenzie?
Yeah.
Honorable Fakwa back?
Because yeah,
I want us to make a call on what do we do at this point, because... Honorable Kumbu?
I'm there. I'm here, Chair.
Okay. So, Thembi Nkosi was just giving feedback that a struggle to get a connection. Tomorrow we have four candidates, right? Thembi Nkosi?
Tomorrow we have four candidates.
Yes, I'm trying to really check, honorable members, as to whether we give time, and if we struggle with that connection by half past, we make a decision. I mean, it's 23 past now. I don't want us to look unfair to the candidates, but also the time it gets to be important. Honorable McKenzie, I see you raising your hand, and Honorable Fab.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd be inclined to agree with that. If we could perhaps ask this gentleman, it's not as if there's any physical travelling involved. If we could ask him to join us digitally tomorrow, I'm sure we could accommodate him then. I would move for that. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Honorable Fagu?
Yes, Chair, I support your proposal.
Okay. So let's, Honorable Kumbu, I take it you can hear?
Yes, I can hear you.
So I was saying that we give up until half past. By half past, we make the decision to then allow him to join tomorrow, because at least yesterday we were able to do eight. It shouldn't be a big problem to do five. And just to make sure that we did not leave anybody out, and that technicalities be used as a decision. Okay, so we can still take a break until half past. Then we'll make a decision when we can't get him there. Thank you.
Wumbu, how is Limpopo?
Oh, Limpopo today is a bit cold, man.
Okay. Stay safe.
I'm very safe, Honorable Papo.
Okay, Michael. Okay. Sure.
Titus ICT.
Hey, my brother.
Titus ICT.
You see, they lift the regulations on booze and suddenly nobody's available anymore.
Mr. Market. Titus ICT. Hey, ICT has disappeared.
Those regulations are only applying from the 1st of June, man. Please, McKenzie, please. They have no reason. And as well as the support staff, and otherwise we've tried everything that we could. I think it's understandable. We'll see how tomorrow goes.
Okay.
But we are finishing the interviews tomorrow.
Yes.
That's understandable. Yes. May Yes. Having said that, in your other work as the committee members, I just want to be sure that you did get the referral from the speaker's side with regard to the vacancy in ICASA.
Yes. Got it.
Yes.
Yes. And therefore, we may have to have a quick committee meeting because it's sent for us to consider and report back. We may need to have that, but we'll hear from the administration because there are all sorts of applications that get made. Just to be also compliant to what Parliament expects, that will be done with statutory appointments in the period we are getting in, and that the committee can then focus on issues of legislation and so on. So if you have received that, I think that's helpful. Please go through that and be ready in case we do get that slot tomorrow. Okay. With that, honorable members, we can only really say good night to everyone.